This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Hello and welcome to Noise Box. I'm your host, Derek Coward. Noise Box can be found at noisebox.com. Box is spelled with two X's. Noise Box is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, you can go to deliberatenoise.com. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. In case you can't hear, it is raining. So I'm going to be podcasting in the rain while driving. Anyway, this is part of the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge. See if you can podcast for 30 straight days. Now, stop saying that it's 30 podcasts in 30 days simply because I have been doing more than one podcast a day on occasion. So, yeah, I'm going to do more than 30 podcasts in 30 days. But I'm going to do it for 30 straight days. So, there you go. Anyway, one of the things I did before I started the challenge was put out a call for questions, you know. I said, hey, if you guys have any questions that you want me to answer, go ahead and submit them, and I'll answer them. Now, usually when I do this, I record in the morning. I record on my phone on my ride into work, and I'm talking about stuff that makes me happy. I like podcasting, and I like talking. I like talking about comic books. I like talking about superheroes, and I like talking about, I like talking about a lot of stuff, you know, movies, TV, sci-fi, non-sci-fi, just anything. I like talking. I like podcasting. And when I get done, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice or not, but I'm happy. I'm upbeat. I'm excited. I'm ready to start my day. You know, that's because I'm talking about things that I like. Now, this question, I don't have exact verbiage, but I know exactly what he's talking about. This is from my friend Ed, and he just wants to know what kind of life circumstance made me go from Detroit to San Diego, because I lived there for a while. And then what made me come back? Now, I said that I would answer this question, but I'm not going to answer this question. I'll tell you exactly why I'm not going to answer this question. I'm going to answer, but I'm not going to give any kind of details. Basically, I moved to San Diego because I made the worst choice I've ever made in my entire life. And that bad choice, that horrible choice, took me to San Diego. I lived in San Diego for a little less than a month. And I spent a 3-day bus ride coming back to the city of Detroit. Now, that's about as much detail as I'm going to go into. Other than to say I did stop off, there was like a layover for like a couple hours in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I always thought it would look like a cool place. I always wanted to go back there, especially once I found out that my friends Mike and Barb were from Albuquerque. But then I saw Breaking Bad, and there's no way in hell I'm going to that place. Anyway, we all make bad decisions, bad choices in our lives. And if we're lucky, we can get past them and we can move on to make different bad choices, or preferably good choices. And I made a bad choice. Something good eventually came out of it. I came back from California. I was pretty much a different person. When I left, I'll admit, I was pretty cocky. I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. And I thought that I had a direction. And I was completely, utterly, totally wrong. So when I came back to Detroit, I was different. I was broken. I freely admit that. You know how people say, you know, a boy went and a man came back? No, a broken boy, child, man child went and a broken man child came back, even more broken. But like I said, something good came out of it. Because I was broken, I was in an extremely vulnerable state. And my sister had just graduated high school. She was just about to graduate high school. Can't remember now. I think she had just graduated. She was about to graduate. And so a lot of community colleges were called. No, it was a year after she graduated. And a bunch of community colleges kept calling her. One in particular just kept calling her. And the reason that they did that, I believe, is because, you know, they get the roster of high school seniors and people who are just about to graduate high school, and they hold on to those names for a year. They hold on to those names for a year because then they check them against people who are like, who have like financial aid out there, who have decided to go to school, and they remove those people from the list. And if you don't have financial aid, then they would call you. They would call you to get you to go to their community college. Because you're not doing anything, so why not? And she was not interested at all. But they kept calling, you know, and every time they call, saying she's not interested, and I hang up. But they'd call back, you know. And this is in the days before the do not call list. But, you know, they'd call back. And I was in an extremely low point. You know, and when I'm in an extremely low point, I'm pretty much receptive to anything, you know. I'm serious. You know how they have those, on the TV show, that they always have, a mass murdering duo. There's the alpha, and then there's the guy who just totally keeps getting pushed around. Yeah, when I'm at my low point, I'm that guy who gets pushed around. I probably, if I had come across the wrong person, I would have committed a string of murders along the hobo trail from here to, I don't know, wherever hobos end up. But I didn't. I did not. I just want to go on record as saying that. I will admit, I think I admitted this before, that no, that was a different time. Never mind. don't admit to too many crimes. Anyway, so they called, and they were like, "Can we speak to your sister?" And I was like, "Yeah, she's not interested, but I might be. What are you guys talking?" Right? And they said, "Well, come on in. We'll sit down and we'll have a little talk." So I went in to this community college. Had a little talk. They were just like, "Well, what do you think you'd be interested in?" And I didn't even look at the catalog. I just said that right there. Just without even looking, just pointed, just put my finger down on the paper and said, "That right there." And that right there turned out to be computer programming. You know? If my finger had gone an inch above, I probably would have gone into accounting. And if it had gone about an inch below, I would have gone into gerontology, which I believe, I'm not 100% positive, but I believe that is the study of old people. I don't know, because I was an inch higher. And then when I got there, I discovered that I had an aptitude for troubleshooting. You know, when we had a computer lab, and I would help the other people in the lab. And I can't call them kids, because most of them were people who were my age and above. So we're talking about, most of them are like in their mid to late 20s. And there were people who were in their 30s. There were a couple of people in their late 40s, you know. But at the same time, there were a bunch who were single mothers. Because in Michigan at that time, they had did something to welfare, and in order to keep your assistance check coming in, you had to be enrolled in school. And so we had a lot of young mothers that way. And some of the young mothers were there just to fulfill this requirement. And there were others who were just like, you know what? I'm going to make the most of this opportunity, you know? So when people start talking too much shit about community colleges, I usually just tune them out, simply because I know what kind of good they can do for a person's self-esteem, really. You know, some of these people who went there were told that they would never amount to anything. You know, I thought that I was fucked up, but there were some people who were even more fucked up. Anyway, so once I realized I had this aptitude for PC support, I was offered a job there. And then I think that's also how I became like an adjunct instructor. Can't remember how that came along, but there was a federal, there was a program that had federal grant money that was targeted towards bringing up the reading level for some of our students. And I mean reading level. I mean reading level. Here we are. These are people who have, if not graduated high school, then they should have graduated high school, you know, years or even decades before. And some of them had very low reading levels. And the computer lab that I was part of helped test their reading levels, as well as help bring them up. There was one guy, I remember his name, I remember exactly who he was. I'm not going to say, because it's really, quite frankly, nobody's business. But he was in his late 40s, and he had a third grade reading level. And I always wondered how he functioned throughout the day, you know? So anyway, started working there with this program, and it's my first computer job. Actually, it was the first job I'd had in a couple of years in Detroit. And one of the women who was in the who also worked for the program, she was a student there. She became my first wife, and she had two lovely daughters, and when we got together and I married her, you know, they became my kids. They are still my kids. Yeah, they're my kids. And I kind of feel bad for my oldest daughter's father, her biological birth father, Simply because whenever she talks about daddy, she talks about me. Whenever she talks about her family, her ancestors, she talks about my family, my ancestors, you know. When she got pregnant, I was the second person to find out. The baby's father found out, and then she called me. And then she called her mom. You know, because, you know, we have a good, strong relationship. My granddaughter calls me Branddaddy, because she couldn't say Granddaddy at first, so she just called me Branddaddy. It's easier to say a B than an R, you know? A B than a G. Jeez, it's easier to spell. And she calls him Brian. I think that's hilarious. Although, for a while there, I think that she was calling him Grandpa Brown. Which, his name's not Brown, it's Brian. But she couldn't pronounce Brian, she's going to Brown. So, who cares? I'm Granddaddy, you know. When she sees me, her face lights up. When I see her, my face lights up. It's just how it is, you know. And even though it did not work out with that job, because I don't know, maybe I gave the impression that this community college just was in it for the money and they just wanted to turn over as many financial aid students as they could. That turned out to be the case, because they're working towards their accreditation while I was there, both as a student and as an employee, a staff member, and faculty, I guess. Anyway, they were always working on their accreditation. And at the very end, they failed to get their accreditation. This was after I had gotten my degree, after I'd graduated. But they failed, not because of any kind of financial impropriety or irregularities, not because of the academic side, but they failed because of the number of loan defaults associated with the school. There was a very high number of people who never paid off their student loan. However, I just want to point out that I am not one of them. When I graduated, the very first thing I really focused all my money towards was paying off that student loan. It was only like a couple of thousand dollars, but still, you know, there are people who had like less than $700 on their student loan bill and they defaulted. It's like, wow. You know, wow. But it didn't work out. Me and my first wife split, and I met Patty. And Patty and I, she had a daughter who, just for all intents and purposes, is my daughter as well. Once again, I feel sorry for her father because she calls him Daddy and she calls me Derek, which I don't have a problem with. It's just like I told my other two girls when they were younger, and they were like, well, what do we call you? I was like, you can call me Daddy or you can call me Derek. But, you know, if you start calling me Daddy, you can't go back because that would break my heart. And so my oldest started calling me Daddy from right then. And Jasmine was like, I think I'm just going to call you Derek. Yeah, and that lasted like, I think, that night. And in the morning, I was Daddy. Been Daddy ever since. But anyway, so her father and her have a very difficult relationship for stuff I can't go into. Because once again, it's not my tale to tell, you know. But me and her are pretty close. In fact, there are times when she would much rather spend time with my family than with him. You know, and it's weird because she loves his family, but she has issues with him. And I try on his behalf, because when me and my wife, my first wife, split up, it broke my heart that I wasn't around my girls every day and I couldn't see them whenever I wanted to, which wasn't exactly true because I could have stopped by any day, anytime. But when you're splitting with somebody and you're not going to get back together, and you know you're not going to get back together, she knows you're not going to get back together, it's pretty much a dick move to stop by whenever you want. Okay. Yeah, so I know what it's like to not have your kids around. And one thing I try to tell her is, you know, you will regret this later on in life. You really should try to get along with your father. I realize you may not want to, but you need to at least try. So it's they have a better relationship now, when she's like 15, than they did when she was 10. But at the same time, there are a lot of other factors that there are a lot of other things that she would much rather do than hang out with him. And it's sad, you know. It's sad. I try as best as I can, but I'm the black man who stole his wife and his kid. So there's only like so much I can say, I'm willing to say and do, you know. So going to San Diego was pretty much a horrific mistake. One of the worst decisions I ever made. If not the worst, then one of the worst decisions I ever made. But when I got past it, you know, when I came back and I started to rebuild my confidence and my self-esteem, and I gained some swagger, you know, life turned out pretty good for me, you know. There are some opportunities that I may not have had if I had stayed in San Diego. I would have had different opportunities, so who knows. I'll tell you, I swear to God, I almost did not get back on... not back on. I flew out there. I almost did not get on the bus to come back home. But I no longer had a place to stay in San Diego, so there really wasn't anything for me to do except be homeless in California, which, by the way, is a beautiful place. San Diego is just so fucking beautiful. If I had to choose a place to be homeless in, it would definitely be San Diego. It's just so gorgeous, you know. Even a bad day in San Diego just looks beautiful. It's just, anyway. So hopefully that will quench your thirst for the answer to that question. There's not going to be any details. I've been with Patty since 2001, and she doesn't know any details. You know, when I came home, I had to live with my mother. She doesn't know any details. My first wife didn't know any details. My kids don't. There are very few people who know any details. And even those who think they know don't really know. You know? Anyway, since I kind of called an audible, I don't know what I'm going to do for tomorrow's Dog Days of Podcasting. But maybe I will come up with another something to talk about. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode, which, yes, means tomorrow. I'm going to see.